Some of you, this will be an introduction. For others, since we haven't been here for 5 years, since before COVID, it'll be a reintroduction. But Deb and I are delighted to be here with you today. We bring you special greetings from Pastor Rick Betts over at Crossroad Community Church, with whom we've been working for the last 6 years, seeing their approach to winning the lost transformed from just making Christians to making disciples who reproduce and make other disciples. So Pastor Rick is really blessed to be on that side of the county, and here you are here, and he just wants you to know in any way that Crossroad can come alongside of you in your own transition, we're happy to do that. We also have a couple other visitors I just want to mention. Of course, Debbie, who's been with me 49 years. Yeah, she really does deserve a hand of applause for that. I guarantee you that. We also have, representing two amazing disciple-making ministries that you are familiar with, representatives from Teen Challenge and from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So I'd like to ask my brother Charles and his wife Teresa to stand up. Teresa works with Rachel's Vineyard, and Charles is at Teen Challenge, and we work very closely together, helping those who you know have gone to the bottom of the valley in many ways, not only find life in Christ, but transformation in his likeness, and the ability to follow him wherever they go. And so it's always a tremendous blessing to partner with Charles and Teresa. And also we have Seth Daisy, who's a disciple maker, director of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, making disciples right down here at Cape Henlopen High School and all over the county. Seth, if you just stand up, I appreciate it. So some of you may have questions about FCA or Teen Challenge. These are the ones to go see right after the service. Well, to just show, you know, being a Reformed congregation, you're familiar with the Westminster Confession of Faith and Shorter Catechism. The question, what is God's providence, is answered. God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Well, we had an amazing providence in having your elder John give me a call and with Mindy line up this Sunday as the Sunday that we would come and preach the Word of God to you, because we are working now very, very closely with Evangelist Abraham Lankford. And so he and I have met this week. We've prayed together. Almost everywhere Abe goes, if they don't have an existing pastor, they say, would you please consider coming and pastoring here? And he says, well, you're tearing my heart, because he's called to be an evangelist, you know, throughout all of Delmarva. Well, he and I have realized that, now you remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Well, Abe and I, along with other servants of God, have agreed that they would be the Paul. They would make connections all over Delmarva, and I would be the Apollos that would come up afterwards and help the Christians who have been renewed, as I know you were renewed under his preaching, to go and make a difference. Not just a little difference, but a huge difference. You'll notice on your cover of your bulletin that I've got quite a challenge in the title of this message. Today's global renewal, why it is not happening here. Now, you might remember, those of you that we were introduced to back in 2018, 19, 20, and even had the church come over to enjoy our first Pentecost service at Crossroad. We've been doing those every year since then. We were sent from Africa back to America, because disciple-making movements are so multiplying in Africa. There are over 2,000 movements. But a movement is at least 1,000 new baptized believers in one location over a short period of time. There are at least 2,000 that are being carefully tracked. I'm affiliated with those who are tracking them, those who are seeing their health, those who are writing down the miracles. Well, this is happening all over Africa. And they said, Ed, why are, out of the 2,000 movements, why are there only about 30 that have arisen in the great United States of America? Maybe you and Deb should go back there, because we know how to reach the billion in Africa, but it doesn't look like the 330-some million in America are being very well reached. Would you agree? Okay. You know, on the way in here, I saw 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I want to share something with you that not many understand. Having taught world Christian history in seminaries, I had to study the history of revivals. And not many, because people everywhere are praying, Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. We need revival. Revival or perish. 2 Chronicles 7:14 teaches us this. Renewal precedes revival. Renewal in the church, if my people called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Now, I know you don't look like a very wicked group, but I'm going to talk to you today about the wicked ways, okay? So I want you to take me seriously. Turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and then what does it say? And heal their land. Renewal before revival. Do you see it? Renewal among the children of God before the land. If you just are praying, Lord, bring revival, and you're not ready for renewal, it will never come. Because wherever God's people are, it is through them that the revival spreads after they are renewed. So that's what I want to talk to you about from the Word of God, and answer the question that many of us who are missiologists and have traveled all over the world tracking, taking part in, some of us fathering these disciple-making movements, we've taught the same thing, we've prayed the same prayers, we've gathered the people to pray for it here, but it's not happening. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is anti-American? I don't think so. But I now know why. And that's what we're looking at today. Because Jesus told us why. So my prayer is that you will have ears that hear and eyes that see the reasons that the renewal that is flourishing abroad is not happening here, because God is about to show it to you. Just before he does, here's an interchange between a tremendous discipler, a born-again messianic Jew who goes and makes disciples. Everything he writes becomes a New York Times bestseller. Imagine, said the teacher, that your life is over. You're in heaven, paradise, seeing and experiencing things which before you couldn't begin to imagine. If you were able, would you go back to earth? What do you think? Oh, you're right. But here's what the discipler says. But there are things you'll never be able to do again, even in heaven, things you could have only done in the time you had on earth. Like what? Number one, faith. You will never again be able to live by faith. Because in heaven, you'll see everything that you were believing in on earth. You'll never again be able to stand in faith or choose to believe God, it will be yours naturally forever. And in heaven, you'll never be able to repent or to bless God by turning down the temptation to sin. Never again. That's what we have now, that can only be done on earth. In heaven, you'll never again have the chance to share salvation with the unsaved, or to bring a life out of darkness into the light. Why? Everybody knows him there. In heaven, you'll never be able to help someone in need. Think of it. Or to bless God by doing so. Heaven has no needs. In heaven, you'll never again have the honor of standing with God when it cost you to do so. Or to share in his reproach. In heaven, you'll never again be able to sacrifice for God, because heaven is filled and your life will be filled. And finally, in heaven, you will never again be able to overcome or become victorious. There's nothing there to overcome. The place for victory is here. The place for all these things is not heaven but earth. The time for these things is not then but now. You see, earth is a most awesome place. And every moment you have here is a most precious gift, one you will never have again, even in the eternity of heaven. So he tells his disciple, live this day as if your life was over, but you were given a second chance to go back. Do now what in heaven you can never do again. Now I'm going to be very specific as we turn to Mark chapter 4, because this is the text that churches are now seeing reveals to us why the renewal of the Holy Spirit in power and salvation that is multiplying globally is not happening here. So, are you ready? We will see. Because Jesus quickly shows the difference between those who are ready and those who are not. Now, here's the scripture reading, Mark 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. Now, this was, if you read this parable that we're about to look at, it is the king of parables. It is the key that opens up the door of all parables. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any of them? So there are many praying right now for you, knowing that I'm going to preach this sermon to you. There are many at Crossroads praying for you. Because when I preached this there this summer, in that church, that mega church that you know about, over 500 people arose in repentance over what the Spirit of God showed them in Mark chapter 4. May God prepare your hearts to respond as well. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. The birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil, produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now listen to the awesome interlude. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. He said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? All right. Christ is now opening to you the secret of the kingdom of God by giving you the interpretation of this parable. I can tell you that this secret has been hidden in plain sight for 2,000 years. I can tell you that in America, we've had our ups and downs of revival and degeneracy, of owning God and of turning our backs on God. And you can only judge where we are now, nationally. And the critical time that we are in right now. Here is the secret of the kingdom of God. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. What I'm going to, I'll give you the overview. Jesus is here saying, every time the word of God is sown, your future is determined by the condition of your heart in receiving that word. Your future, it would not be difficult because of my own history and experiences to go to any church and to tell you the future of that church just by hearing the word of God that is preached and how the people received it. That's the secret. When you come here, do you realize Jesus warned you? He said this in the midst of giving this parable as it was related in another gospel. Matthew and Luke also cover this. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, more will be given. What does it mean? It means if you've heard the word of God, you've cherished it, you have abode in it. That's a tricky verb for the past tense. You've abided in it. You've abode in it. Or you've just come. It's what we do on Sunday before we have Sunday dinner. God knows and takes very personally how you hear and what you do with the word of God. You have four options. Jesus said four things will happen. One of four. And what I'm going to show you, what I've written about, this is in a book that has just been published entitled Today's Global Renewal, Why It Is Not Happening Here. You can know it. You can see it. In your choice of the future, in your choice of your next pastor, in your choice of what direction do you go? What do we really need here in Lewis to be what God has called us to be? It's all right here in this parable to you. So listen. You will see, as I've concluded in the book, 90% of evangelical Christians are not good soil. Soil number four. I'm going to prove it. And if I'm going to prove it, that means I'm going to step on some toes this morning. Hopefully, it'll be the Holy Spirit that does the stepping. Because, you know, I've taught in Reformed seminaries. I've retired from a Reformed denomination. I understand the Reformed faith. And I know, as I shared with you before, when I first came here, out of that context, practically speaking, my Trinity was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. Instead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Once that paradigm shift happened, and I was able to be taught, Jesus said about the Spirit who's coming, He will teach you all things. Well, what happens if I try to learn from this holy book of which He is the author while I'm denying Him in my life, scared of Him because I don't want to become some raving Pentecostal? Seriously, people. We need the Holy Spirit, friends. And if we had more time than we can have today together, I would show you, as a Reformed pastor, how you can receive the filling of the Holy Spirit of God and be a witness of power wherever you go in the name of Christ. But first things first, we've got to first check the soil. Check your heart. That's the secret. So here are the four types. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. He's giving the interpretation. He's giving the secret. When they hear, Satan immediately. Now, I'll tell you this. That doesn't sound very reformed to me. Because we're not used to thinking that Satan likes to come to church. And so we have no guard. We have no prayer. We have no warfare preparing us for this holy hour. Soil number one. The seed is sown. The word is preached. You see, what you're going to see in this parable is Jesus doesn't emphasize the sower. Oh, who's going to be our next pastor? Oh, we don't want to make a mistake. Oh, who's going to be the sower is not the critical issue. He says the sower sows the seed, which is the word. Oh, we got to have exegetical preaching. We're not going to go back to any of this dot, dot, dot. What I'm telling you here is, are the stones we've stumbled over thinking they're the problem? How is the preacher preaching? How are the teachers teaching? How are the elders leading? Friends, the whole crux of the matter is, what is your heart in receiving the word? Because you'll be amazed at what the Spirit of God will use in edifying you from all kinds of sowers. All right, I got to hurry up here. Oh, I love this. I love this. Why? I wish I could show you Abraham Langford's prayer for you today. As his dear, beloved, temporary flock that he preached to. He said, oh God, give them eyes to see, ears to hear, so that they don't think that their future's destiny as a church is based primarily on the man they call. No. You choose the wrong man hurriedly, We got to get a preacher. If you do that before your soil changes, nothing greatly will happen. When they hear, Satan immediately comes away and takes away the word that is sown in them. They just don't have time for the word to settle in. If you abide with me and my word abides with you, you are then true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What time? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates when Fox News is on. When Monday Night Football's not on. He meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Seed number one. There's no root. It's hard. It's rocky. You don't want to hang with the word. You don't want to leave this place talking about the word. I think there's probably only 10% of evangelicals in that way, truly, because most evangelicals love the word. So the 90% that aren't soil number four is not because they're soil number one. Here's the reason: soil number two and three. These are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. They're born again. They have no root in themselves, but endure temporarily for a while. Why? Here it is, friends. Then when tribulation or persecution arises, why? Read it to me. What happens? Soil number two. Oh, we'll tell you the prayer to pray, give you a Bible, invite you to come back to church and slap you on the butt. Now go, go, go. You're in good hands. But you don't tell them what Paul and what Jesus said. You don't say, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. In Acts 14, you see Paul went to every church plant and he said this: with much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. You see, we just want to get people saved. Not discipled. Not ready for a battle. Not with both hands on the plow, never looking back. We don't tell the young believer, remember Lot's wife. Because so many of us have forgotten, as we'll see, and are turning back. I believe at least 40% of evangelicals today are soil number two. They have been so spooked by the culture and by the devilish pushback that they received when they first gave the gospel and they were not in a context where they could look around and see wise disciples. He that wins souls is wise. All they could hear is people saying, well, oh no, you'll slow down. See, that's the problem. Soil number two, you slow down. You don't take a stand. You don't want to be denounced. Or, nowadays even worse, unfriended. Do you see what the devil is trying to do? Silence Jesus. They can go to church. They can talk about books. They can get excited about programs. Just don't have them talk about Jesus. So here's a question to you. Do you witness for Christ as you did when you first believed? Are you so concerned for the state of others that you must speak to them about Jesus when the opportunity arises? Maybe you're just hoping it won't arise. Are you fearful of speaking up for Christ among non-believers? Is your church growing with many who are being saved? When I gave this message at Crossroads, more than half the congregation stood in repentance, saying, we don't know what we've been thinking. We have a famous church. We're doing famously. We're helping the county. We're blessing others incredibly. But almost no one, maybe on a weekend, two or three, gets saved. That's soil number two. That's 40%. We're up to 50%. And I want to show you the real issue among us. As Western, see, this is what makes us different from, since I've been with you, God called me, and I'm not going to get into the details, God called me to go to a very dangerous place where I could only exist with lifeguards. And that's not because I was swimming. It's because it was 97% Muslim and one of the most radical of nations. I went by invitation of a pastor who said, I read your book in Thailand. Are you a Christian or a disciple? And I'm telling you, if you come, let us translate that book. Come and speak this to us. It'll change the church in our nation. All I can say is that the old way, the New Testament way, the Great Commission way still works. And though I was threatened, I wasn't killed. Now I can't return. I was there twice for like a week or 8 days each. Now I'm on a watch list, so I can't return to that nation because they've worked their way back as to who the troubler is. Well, they didn't work back far enough. It's Jesus. It ain't me. It's Jesus you're against. It's not me. I don't cause enough trouble in the name of Jesus. Right now, there are thousands who have been baptized over at Crossroad. There's so many people now that the disciples are leading to Christ that the leadership team is saying, we can't just have baptism twice a year. And they started saying, I think we need to have baptisms every month. Now, for an old reformed guy like me, to be caught up in the midst of that, I could tell you this, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I haven't had to deny any doctrine that we know is true. It's those sins of omission, what I didn't do. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. It's those that I've had to repent of over and over again. All right, here's the nail. May the Holy Spirit hit it on the head in your life today. Soil number three. And verse 18, and others are the ones sown among thorns or weeds. They are those who hear the word. But three things. Choke the word so it can't bring forth fruit. Three things. In the book, I give a chapter to each of these things. What are they? Number one, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Choke the word. So that it becomes unfruitful. God help me. Friends, like you, I want revival, but I know it cannot come without renewal in the body of Christ. What are the cares of this world? Let me mention a few. What's going to happen to my health? You realize health issues have nothing to do with heaven? And we're the ones that pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not, oh Lord, I can't wait to get to heaven, but right now I'm going to limp around and croak about my aches to everybody I meet. You know what another care of this world is that chokes the word? Your family. You're not going to have a family in heaven, are you? You're not going to, oh, it's because of my spouse. It's because of my kids. It's because of my grandkids. And your life is consumed with your spouse, your kids, adult for us, our age, and grandkids. That's the cares of this world. You go down that path and it can only choke the word so that you are not ready to bear the fruit in the harvest that we could show you. You got to ask me to come back so I can show you some of these things. You ask me to come back this week, I'll come back any night this week. Just because something isn't part of our tradition doesn't mean that it's not in the Word and that it's not being followed today. It is. It is. We can be renewed here at New Covenant. The disciples that Seth is making next door largely come from non-Christian families. they would love a church when they came in that said, look at all these that you've brought this week to hear the word, ready to do it. They're just waiting. At Cape Henlopen for a local church that'll say, we follow Jesus. You're safe here. Paul said it. Can you say it? Follow me as I follow Christ. You can say that, friends. You can say that if you say, dear God, what have I done? The shape of my car? I can't invite anybody into my house. What if they saw dot, dot, dot? Cares of this world, people. All right. That's one chapter. The next, Jesus said, the deceitfulness of wealth. What's going to happen to my IRA? What is all this tariff baloney going to do to my life savings? What's going to happen to me when I get too old to take care of myself? Why must I just buy new and can never buy used? Why can't I humble myself and ask my neighbor, can I borrow your tree trimmer instead of going and buying my own? This is all the deceitfulness of riches. This is the ugly underbelly of materialism. You worry about money. You cannot be filled with the Spirit. So that he takes you where there's people for you to disciple. Because God is too good to young believers to put them underneath somebody who's going to fill them with an example of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The last weed in soil number 3. That brings us up to, I think, at least 90%. I'm not talking modernism and liberalism here, friends. I'm talking evangelical churches. The third thing that chokes the word, the desire for other things. Pastor Ken is the counseling pastor at Crossroad. He says he does not think that he has ever done marital counseling in the last 7 years or 8 years, I can't remember which he said, without one thing being at the center of the controversy. Your cell phone. I get a sense of acceptance. I get a sense of belonging. I get a sense of humor. I get a sense of distraction. I get a sense of entertainment. The desire for other things. Choke the word. I don't know what you desire. But if we had time to sit down with every one of you, and if you're not witnessing like you should be and could be, we could put our finger right on it. But you see, that's not my job. He will convict the world of sin. Now that we're all cheerful, let's go to the fourth soil, because I want you to see that you don't have to stay in soil 1, 2, or 3. It says, those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it. Another gospel says, and understand it. I think today you've heard the word with understanding. You may not have liked. I sure didn't. I don't cherish sharing this message, but this is the message I share in evangelical churches that are all praying for revival, but don't realize that the soil of their own hearts prevents it. Those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now we're starting to see this in some people's lives. We're not just seeing one person lead another person to Christ. We are seeing multiplication happen. Because when you know the plan of the Great Commission, and that truly is another message, but equally clear, the plan that all the disciples are following globally, that we're not following here. This is what the title of the book is that talks about our ministry in that Asian nation, Islamic nation. Disciple the nations by peace, not pressure. I'd like to share that with you. I'd like that to be your future. I'd like for you to know that when you stand before God, He will say to you, well done, well done. You didn't just hang it up, get your remote, lock your doors, and pray for the rapture. Well done. Well done. So, here we are. This is why it is happening there. All over there and not here. Now, was Jesus reformed? All right. Well, we all say we hope so. We sure hope so. All right. This is how reformed Jesus was. He said to them all, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. How? Take my yoke on you. If you look outside of the New Testament in Second Temple Judaism writings, you will see that every rabbi that was calling a person to be his disciples would say, take my yoke on you. Come, take my yoke on you. Come, take my yoke on you. Follow Gamaliel. Follow Hillel, follow Shammai, follow Jesus. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am meek. I'm not going to abuse you. I know you're old, I know you're tired, I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. But I love this world too much for you to just sit, grow old, go to a nursing home, die without bearing fruit, or not be attractive to today's young people who are longing for adults because their homes are broken. They want somebody who can say, oh, follow me as I follow Christ. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. You see, the reason I said is Jesus reformed, because giving an invitation isn't very reformed. Typically, not here. I follow Jesus, and here's the invitation. Do you have ears to hear and eyes to see? Now, it's not Methodist church. We don't have any kneeling altars up here. But this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If today it is the desire of your heart to stop being soil, one, soil, two, soil, three, and you want to become 30, 60, 100-fold, I'm going to ask you to stand and pray a prayer of repentance with me right now. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they have heard. Pray this, because we know this if we confess our sins. Papa is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us. First John's not getting written to unbelievers. This is believers. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to groan for yourself, and then I'll have us pray a prayer of repentance as a congregation together. So you pray first, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Let us pray out loud together. Dear Father, forgive me for not being soil number four. You know exactly what has choked the word, and the Spirit has told me as well. I confess those sins to you. I repent of those sins. In the name of Jesus, I turn my back on them. And though I don't know how, I am asking you, make me fruitful. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Help me, Holy Spirit. We probably haven't honored you as we should. We haven't learned what the Bible tells us about you. We haven't kept in step with you. But here we are. Thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, so that you have promised their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. Praise God. We are forgiven. Now show us the way forward. Make us disciples who make disciples until Jesus comes. And give us a pastor in time who will lead us in fulfilling the Great Commission in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Sean.